Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Here's the backstory here. A little over a year ago, Ezekiel Elliott's mother, Dawn, tweeted her support of Skip and his bedside picture of her son in an Undisputed commercial that debuted last year. In response, Skip sent her a framed picture that had Skip next to Zeke in it, but guys, her tune has changed. Now, after Skip was critical of Zeke's 47-yard rush performance on Sunday night, Skip posted a picture of himself throwing away his Zeke jersey after the loss with a caption that said, "This was probably an over-emotional overreaction," leading Zeke's mom to reply with a tweet of her own. She retweeted a picture that Skip had posted wearing his 21 jersey from earlier the day with the caption, "I certainly hope I don't ever see Skip Bayless post another pic wearing my son's jersey." You guys got all that? Skip, your reaction.
My first reaction is, I loved her reaction. I would have expected nothing less from a mother who refers to herself on her Twitter page as, and I quote, "Mama, Mom, and Mommy," all three rolled into one. Mm-hmm. So here was a mother defending her son against this guy on TV that she thought loved her son, and now I'm sure in her eyes that I have betrayed that love for her son, right?
And Benedict Bayless.
To me, she has every right now to throw the picture of me that we sent her in her trash if she hasn't done that already. But, and this is a big but, anyone who has followed my career on TV since September of 2004 on Cold Pizza knows I play no favorites. Even the players I love the most, I give no passes to when they play poorly. I say on TV what I see or don't see watching the games on TV, and I am sorry, Mama Zeke, I'm just not seeing the same Ezekiel Elliott this season. I have been saying that on this show, not just this past Monday. I've been saying it for what, a month on this show? Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the same Zeke. I don't see the same burst. I don't see the same breakaway speed. This is a young man who's still only 24 years of age who ran a 4.4 40 mm-hmm. at the combine. And I'm sorry, this is the same Zeke who led this league in rushing twice, 2016, 2018.
Still might.
He has now fallen to eighth in this league in rushing. He is now 16th in this league in yards per rushing attempt. And one other little note for you to a point you asked me yesterday. In the 15 games that Ezekiel Elliott played as a rookie in this league, he had 14 runs of 20-plus yards. So far, through 9 games this season, he has 1 run of 20-plus yards. So 14 as a rookie through 15 games, and now 1 through 9. I think he's trending down in breakaway runs. So, I tried to be positive before Sunday night's crucial game against the Minnesota Vikings, and I knew it would be the toughest test so far on that schedule. And I tried to, as LeVar might say, I tried to speak it or will it into existence by posting a picture of me wearing my Zeke jersey with the caption, "Just a feeling, this will be Zeke's night." And 20 carries and 47 yards later, including those two late carries, those crucial carries that went for 0 and -3.
You know Zeke didn't call them plays, right?
My point was to you on Monday, those plays should have had the ball in the quarterback's hands.
Why are you mad at Zeke, though?
Well, again, because he was having a bad game and my quarterback was having a great game.
Well, he didn't take the ball out of his hands, Skip. Okay. They gave it to him.
Okay, well, that's my problem. So, obviously, I am a psycho Cowboy fan. In my book that, Ernestine's book that she wrote about this, it's all over, we've talked about it in interviews all over the country over the last month. I'm not stable when it comes to Cowboy games. I don't think you're stable when it comes to Cowboy games because you're a psycho Cowboy hater.
I love them.
And when they lost to the Jets, you came in here and had lost your voice screaming at your TV up in the suite in Denver.
I was.
Right?
Yes. Right.
Okay, so that's the emotions that are packed into these games that just explode at the end of the games. So I was not happy at the end of the game.
Okay.
So I posted a video of me throwing Zeke's jersey into the trash with a caption and a warning, a caption warning that said, probably an over-emotional overreaction.
Probably.
I just couldn't help myself. That was the way I disqualified the old don't hit send, you know, don't post.
You did it though.
I posted it, but I knew what was coming. Nothing great was coming because I was out of my mind. Now, for the record, a year ago, and it was on November 5th, I also threw my Dak Prescott jersey into the same trash can in the same kitchen.
But?
There it is. Thank you very much. And what had happened that night, Mr. Sharp? My quarterback had stunk it up and gotten outplayed by Marcus Mariota at Jerry World on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And I was devastated because I knew I was going to have to come here and face you the next day. And you just crushed my quarterback because you should have crushed him the next day. And I could not fight back that day. But 6 days later, the following Sunday, at Philadelphia against those Eagles, Dak Prescott led the turnaround victory of the season. Cry, Eagles, cry. And what did I do that night? I posted another video in which I retrieved Dak's jersey, if we could see that. I retrieved it from my trash can along with my cowboy hat. And those are how my emotions wildly swing after Cowboy games. So my greatest hope right here, right now, is that next Sunday, Zeke will go for 220 yards at Detroit, and I can retrieve number 21 out of my trash. Mm. Or better still, that Ezekiel Elliott can go for 200-plus against Belichick's defense at Foxborough the following Sunday. That would be even sweeter. Mm-mm. And I could retrieve his jersey out of my trash.
Mm-mm.
So does it pain me that Mama Zeke is down?
No.
Yes, it does.
No, it does.
Yes, it does.
Mad at you.
I cannot tell a lie. I cannot defend her son when he doesn't deserve being defended after he got $50 million guaranteed. I have a job to do, and he has a $50 million guaranteed job to do on Sundays.
But you tell everybody, running backs and wide receivers play dependent positions.
Mm. Yeah.
The running back is dependent on his offensive line.
So is the quarterback.
Stop it.
Well, he is.
Stop it. He touched the ball. But anyway, to your point, how do you think his mom was going to respond?
That way.
Okay.
I mean, I would think less of her if she didn't respond way.
Skip, I mean, you got the picture. You got the man picture beside your bed. We shoot a commercial. You jumping out of bed, putting your feet on, and there's Zeke smiling.
How many times have I told you on this show, best running back in football, right?
But after one game, all of a sudden, he's stir fry.
Well, you know what I mean? Wait. Time out. I just explained to you, I've been doing this for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you remember 2 weeks ago when the Cowboy running back coach Gary Brown was quoted in The Athletic about, well, he's still trying to play his way in shape. He missed training camp. I'm saying seven games in. I'm not going to buy that one.
Skip, let me tell you how it works. Family members will always take criticism of a player harder than the player itself because they understand it.
Yeah.
When people would criticize my brother and I, he played, my mom and my sister took it a lot harder than we did. We understood it.
Sure.
But they didn't understand. Like, you know, they do have a job to do, Liv. They do have a job to do, Mama. But them, you know what, saying all this about that, they calm down. It's okay. As long as you vent the spanking myself, we good. I don't want you to take that outside of there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get. You see what I'm telling you? Hey, Mama Zeke, come on over here. But I just want, hey, Mama Zeke, come on to your boy, because I'll take care of you. I'll take care of your son.
So
I'm going to tell you something. This is for you, Dak Prescott. It's just a matter of time. You just saw a glimpse of what he like. Hey, you next, Dak. You next.
Mm.
You see how he talking about you and how good you are? You next. Have one bad game and your stuff going in the trash.
Mm-hmm. They're all next. They're all on notice.
Oh, yeah.
What did I do to DeMarcus Lawrence earlier in this year? Yeah. There's no D in DeMarcus because he's not playing any D.
I don't know how many.
Just Marcus
Lawrence.
I don't
know how many jerseys you got, but all of them going in the trash because you're not making the playoffs.
Okay.
Yep, so it's just a matter of time. And Skip, hold on. What happened to Tony Pollard?
Yeah, what about...
Hold on. You remember they talking about Tony Pollard? Hold on. They was talking about Tony Pollard in camp.
No, you were talking about Mike Pollard.
Mike. Okay, I was talking about Mike.
Yeah.
And I remember Clarence Hill Jr., the great, he came in.
Yeah, he did.
He asked Jerry about Zeke. He's about Zeke who? Zeke who?
Such
Tony Pollard who?
Okay, but Zeke was holding out at that point.
Skip.
And they were negotiating.
Skip, you do understand that Zeke is sixth in the league in yards rushed per game.
Right, but he used to be first.
Yeah, hold on, Skip. Here's the thing. The season's not over.
Well, it's not over, but we're 9 games deep. What are you seeing? I asked you yesterday. I held your feet to the fire. Are you seeing the same Zeke? And you said, well, I don't know.
How about this here? In 2016, his rookie year, he had 4 plays of 40-plus yards or more, run or catches.
Mm-hmm.
In his second year, he had 1. In his third year, he had 1.
Mm-hmm.
So you make it seem like all of a sudden, it's been trending that way. But I tell you what he has been doing.
Thank you for making my point. I agree.
But at the end of the year, he leads the league in rushing.
Mm-hmm.
The year that he missed those 6 games.
Think he's going to lead this league in rushing this year?
I still believe he'll be top 3. I still believe he'll be top 3.
You don't pay him the most money you paid any back in football unless he can come in top 1.
Well, here's the thing.
That's who he is and how he's been. Yeah.
Everybody keeps saying what I've tried to tell you. Stephen Jones said Minnesota was not going to let Zeke run. Jerry Jones said. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you? Defenses are still setting their defense to stop that guy because they don't believe your guy even if he throws for 400.
What did I tell you yesterday? I covered Cowboy teams through the early 90s for 5 straight years, and Emmitt Smith was everything. They were a run-based team.
I get it.
Every team said, we got to stop 22, and nobody could stop 22.
All I'm saying, I don't know nothing about that team.
Well, I
have bigger fish to fry, worry about what we're going on in Denver.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what they're telling your what they're telling you and your quarterback. We don't believe you. Skip Bayless.
The quarterback's lighting up the league.
All he do
at some point they're gonna wise up.
And he's 5-4. He's lighting up the league at 5-4.
So they keep going back to what Jerry would call a dry well when he's drilling for oil, because the dry well has been 21 this year, and you keep going back and you dig deeper and deeper and deeper and still dry. And I have to ask this question because this is the scariest question of all to me.
Right.
How many times have we seen players, stars, get their money, and this is huge money. This is $50 million guaranteed, and lose a little bit of edge, a little bit of drive, a little bit of commitment.
I don't believe Zeke is wired like that. I hope not. I think Zeke understands that he's off to a great start, and he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
And I still believe, like I said, I believe he'll be top 3 in rushing when it's all said and done. Because you better hope he's top 3 in rushing. Mm-hmm. Because if he finishes where he is now, y'all definitely 1,000% not making the playoffs.
Mm.
So you better hope he's top 3.
Well, I do. I just told you. I hope I can speak it into existence. I hope I can retrieve that jersey out of
the
trash.
Well, I tell you what. The next jersey you throw Ty Smith and Connor Williams and Travis Frederick and Zach Martin and Lyle Collins.
So
they're blocking.
Okay. I have one last message to Mama Zeke.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
This is the man across from me, Mama Zeke.
Whoa.
Who again and again and again on the show has said, Jerry Jones cannot go to sleep without putting that cell phone under his pillow because you cannot trust Ezekiel Elliott off the field. Mama Zeke, that's the man.
Yeah, Mama
who's
Zeke.
Who's trying to play up to you right now.
No.
Who has called out your son for his misbehavior.
Yes,
and I have tried to defend your son's behavior.
And guess what, Skip? Mama Zeke can't turn her damn phone up either because of her son. So I'm not breaking no news.
So Mama Zeke, you can stay over on this side.
No, she don't
want to.
No.
Jeez.
She knows that.
Yeah.
You know what, Skip Bayless? That's what they call it. Old steady shape.
Yeah.
I'm just like this here.
Oh, really?
I'm just like this here.
Which one of us in 2017 went to the mat slamming his fist on this table? Zeke does not deserve to be suspended.
Skip,
do you remember that?
Yes.
Did I not fight over that?
Yes.
Yes.
Skip, I said he didn't deserve to be suspended. But once it got in the commissioner's hands, you and I both know it was over. There was not a court.
I didn't know it was over. And I'm still upset about
that. Okay, you can be upset. Yeah. But Skip, how many people have gone before Commissioner Goodell, Judge Goodell, and says, you know what? I like the verdict that I got. How many?
Yeah.
You got Tom Brady tried it. How did he like it?
Well, Zeke and Tom won one level of court.
Yes.
They won at one level and tried to go to the next, and they get worn out by the process and the deep pockets up there on Madison
Skip,
Avenue.
Skip, it's hard.
Yep.
When 31 of those teams sign, and that thing, that Article 46 is in there that says he has the right, he's the appeal officer, and he's the final say, it's hard to overcome that. Because the judge is like, hold on, wait a minute. You want us, you signed a crappy deal. You want us to bail you out from signing this crappy deal. And the judge even said it.
Yep.
You knew this was in here to begin with.
Okay. I still got your back, Zeke.
Will the Zeke jersey get taken out of the trash?
That's what we're all waiting to see. Oh, now you tried to backtrack. Now you like Michael Jackson at the Motown Awards in 83. He moonwalking. Get him, Mama
Zeke! Don't upset the guy. He throws you in the trash.
Mama Zeke! Mama Zeke said, don't ever let me catch you with my son.
Mama Zeke, I'm sorry. I can't control these guys. What can I say?
No mercy.
Colin Kaepernick hasn't played in the NFL since the 2016 season. Despite this, Kaepernick said he has been training 5 days a week since then, so he's ready when a team calls. Now he might have that chance. The NFL has scheduled a workout for Cap on Saturday in Atlanta, and all teams have been invited. Kaepernick didn't know about the workout until it was already scheduled by the league. It is also being reported that the league wouldn't budge when asked if the day of the workout could be changed to next week. We're now joined by Fox Sports NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Good morning.
Good morning.
Greg, I got the reaction from these two earlier, but I want to ask you, how legitimate is this opportunity for Cap?
In my opinion, it's not legitimate at all. It's not legitimate at all. When I look at this, what the league is doing is what they should be doing. Now, Colin Kaepernick has everything to lose here. If he were to say, you know what? I'm not showing up. He looks bad. And then it appears he didn't want to come. We tried. We extended the offer. He didn't show up. Well, he has to show up. And then he has to perform at a great level with we don't know what. He doesn't know the receivers. He doesn't have any rapport. And again, all of these things are what happened on Tuesdays when teams typically bring guys in and they schedule appointments. The huge difference here, huge difference. Shannon, if a team was inquiring about you, would they reach out to the league or would they reach out to your representative?
They reach out to your representative.
And you would know, right?
Yes.
You would know. You would have all the details.
The Falcons call. The Packers call. The Broncos call.
So
NFL call. They schedule a workout.
So when I listen to all of this, it looks great. It looks like a legitimate opportunity for Colin Kaepernick. But it is not. Why? Because he wasn't even aware. Nobody came out to him or reached out to him until it was like, okay, this is what we have set. You be here. This is what's going on. 32 teams, we're going to record it. Possibly 32 teams will show up. Possibly none will show up. There is nothing that is set in concrete outside of the fact of the time, what it's going to look like, the fact that it's going to be recorded. And Colin, it's going to be in Atlanta. You need to be there. What's going to come of it? He's been out of the NFL for 3 years. He is not going to get a legitimate opportunity to be placed on an NFL roster this year. It's week 11. Let's be realistic. A lot of quarterback play are having. We're seeing a lot of phenomenal quarterback play from these young guys.
Right.
If
they said Usain Bolt, he retired after the World Championships in 2017. Usain Bolt, we got a meet schedule. This is a Tuesday. We got a meet schedule for you Saturday. What place do you think Usain Bolt going to come in? It's the fastest man in the world, Skip. Yeah. You do think when you're a professional athlete, your craft is that you practice it.
Yeah.
The man is, Skip, he hadn't had on shoulder pads.
Nope.
Or ran an offense in three years. They call you on a Tuesday and say, we have this schedule. Show up. Well, I need another week to maybe tie up some loose ends. It's now or never. Skipper, they're talking about, I just got this from Ian Rappaport, going through all the detail. It begins at 3 p.m. and interviews, measurements, stretching, warm-ups, timing and testing. Tommy, for what? Colin Kaepernick ain't run no, been running no 40s. He been dropping back, throwing the ball, Skip. Tommy, for what? Man, it's, like I said, I don't want to be skeptical because I wanted to go, off without a hitch. I want Cap to get a legitimate opportunity. But Skip, his representative said, I reached out to all 32 teams a month ago. I've heard nothing back. Roger Goodell has been said over and over, we leave that up to each individual team who they sign. Now, okay, because the NFL says it's okay? I just don't get this. I don't know where this came from all of a sudden. What changed? What has Cap done? They say, you know what? I don't believe he's going to kneel anymore. Mm-hmm. Because the same issue that led you not to sign him is still there. You're going to ask him about it. What did he say? Is he say, nah, you know what? As Jay-Z said, it's time to take that next step. Yeah. I'm willing to take the next step also. Yada, yada, yada. Okay. But I don't get this, Skip. And this is what I told the writer, Skip, for the Hall of Fame. I had to wait till my third time to get in. I said, hell, if you didn't like 815 and 10,000 yards in three Super Bowls the first time, you ain't going to like it the second time because there are going to be guys coming along with 1,000 catches. Yeah. And there are going to be guys coming along with 900 and 100 touchdowns. Yeah. So if you didn't like it then, you're going to really hate it down the road.
Never have understood that.
If you didn't like Cap in 2016, Skip, with it how it happened, what makes you love him now in 2019?
Very valid point.
The more I think about this, the worse the NFL looks. This is this thinly camouflaged sneak attack of a quote-unquote workout designed simply to undercut the narrative of he got blackballed, or as you say, whiteballed. Mm-hmm. This is the NFL's attempt to say, hey, we gave him a chance.
Right.
And he showcased himself, had a whole day to do so, and nobody was interested. You gave him a chance? On a Saturday?
Right.
In Atlanta? So, number one, obviously Tuesday's the off day for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Sunday is the day for everybody. So how many head coaches and GMs, not just staffers, scouts, how many GMs and head coaches can attend in Atlanta GA on Saturday? Not
Dan
many.
Quinn if they got a home game.
Dan Quinn if they have a home game. And the problem is, number one, you should have staged this showcase in Dallas or some centrally located. Dallas is usually the, where do they have a lot of the owners' meetings? Yeah. On the fly, the weekend meetings, the Monday meeting?
Mm-hmm.
It's in Dallas because it's 3 hours from everywhere. You have to allow the people located on the West Coast to have a legit shot to get to the session. And they did not do that. And why would you suddenly, randomly, just do this out of nowhere, out of the blue, and blindside Cap and his team with this on, let's just say, in the middle of November, well after the trade deadline, when rosters are mostly set in concrete?
It is.
Why wouldn't you do it before the trade deadline so everybody would have a legitimate opportunity to think, I don't know, I'm a little shaky with our backup, or whatever you want to think.
Exactly.
Maybe we don't like Mitch Trubisky, or whatever. Let's plunge.
Right.
You got to give them a chance ahead of time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, this smells or smacks of trying to call Cap's bluff that he's actually in 5 day a week, 5 a.m. shape, where he's getting up every day and he's been posting the videos. Because, again, Cap's team said, well, give us at least one more week to the next Saturday. Nope, this Saturday. I think they're calling his bluff saying, we don't really think you're in that great a shape, so we're not going to give you a chance to crash into shape, you know, to sort of crash diet or whatever. Right. I think maybe they have some intel that maybe he hasn't eaten the cleanest food.
Yeah, we've all had representative. Greg, you have representative. And when you were a free agent, your agent called you, hey, Greg, I talked to such and such. Well, I talked to this team and I talked to that team. He just don't say, oh, Greg, you're flying to Minnesota on Thursday. And here it is a Monday.
Exactly.
No, you're like, hey, they talk. We talk. Skip, you've had a representative your whole career when you've been in this business. Ain't nobody call you and say, hey, Skip, I talked to such and such, and you're flying out there tomorrow. Huh? So how long have you known about this? Oh, yeah, we've been talking about this for about... Now, if he says, well, we've been talking about this for like 3 or 4 weeks, you're like, well, it's time for me to get me a new representative because you're withholding evidence, things that I need to know. Cap even tweeted, my representative has just informed me.
Yeah.
They just got informed. That's why they couldn't inform you, because they were just informed.
And then he tried to put the ball back in the NFL's court by saying, I can't wait to see the head coaches and GMs on Saturday, because he knows full well they can't make it.
They won't be there. They won't be there.
There's got to be more.
Way to go.
There's got to be more to this. Like, inside, something's going on here.
Okay, so billion to one shot, would I be pleasantly shocked if one team was encouraged enough by what they saw to say, you know what? He would work for us.
Yes.
Yeah, I would be pleasantly shocked. Mm-hmm. There was one report, random report yesterday, that my Cowboys would be interested in Colin Kaepernick. Would he be better than Cooper Rush? You better believe he would, as a backup quarterback. It pains me to even think of Colin as a backup quarterback, because he deserved better. He had earned better through all of his performances.
Right. But Skip, you remember when they had the meeting up in Park Avenue? And the players' coalition and the owners were sitting. Well, the owners were sitting down, and it got out. The owners were like, "But if we were to do this, we might get a tweet, or we might get a phone call from somebody that's the highest position in America." So what changes?
Oh yeah.
What changes, Skip?
Good point. If he would get involved.
So,
but hadn't he changed his tune a little bit lately? Like, didn't he say he would like to see Colin get a shot?
If.
Okay.
Skip. I hope something. I hope this tree bears fruit.
Yep.
But it's hard for me to believe.
Me too.
No. No. It's not. It just isn't. And it's unfortunate that it's taken 3 years for him to for the league to even set this up.
Yeah.
Like, this could have been set up a year after.
That's true.
Even 2 years out. It's been 3 years.
So now the NFL sets up something that the team that brought him in didn't even do, which is take any measurements, take him on the field and let him do anything, Skip. They ask him, you know, what's going on and the protests and all that. So now you had 3 years to do some of this. You did none of this. But now all of a sudden you're like, you know what? We've had a change of heart. You know what? We've seen the way of...
That's the part that's tripping me out, because they're reporting in some of these reports that several teams inquired. The reason why the league is setting this is because several teams inquired about Colin's readiness.
I thought you did without the league's... You operated...
Well, it's like they have to because of the circumstances that involve them.
Yeah.
So what? Is the NFL providing cover now? We want to sign it, but NFL, we need you guys to let it know. So the NFL is providing cover for these teams.
So they won't put their names out there.
We'll have to wait and see. It's all very interesting, and I'm sure we're going to hear more over the next couple days before this supposed tryout takes place. No
mercy. Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, so thanks to two critical three-pointers from Kyle Kuzma, who had 23 off the bench, the Lakers held on late to win 123-115 in Phoenix last night. LeBron added 19 points and 11 assists with just one turnover. And Anthony Davis had a game-high 24 points and 11 rebounds while playing through some shoulder discomfort. So Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. I don't know about that Skip. Some telling things there. Chris, I'm going to start with you. Your biggest takeaway from last night?
You mean besides LeBron needing to work on his foul shooting?
Ooh.
keeping doing
just
that.
I'm going to jump right
keep
there.
Keep doing that.
Go right there.
But that's not it. It's the same as one of my main takeaways from opening night when they lost to the Clippers. The importance of Kyle Kuzma. We saw what he did last night, the 8 points in the fourth, the back-to-back threes in the last 2 minutes. Because LeBron, he's going to go down as one of the greatest scorers we've ever seen. But we know his nature is to pass, to move the ball, is to hit the open man, make the right play. Because of that, he's always at his best when he's got a sniper next to him, a dog. Kyrie, Dwayne Wade, and now he's got Kuzma. And look, Kuzma is not as good as Chris Bosh. Historically, at this point, he's not as good as Kevin Love. But I think this big three, if you want to call them that, AD, LeBron, and Kuzma, could fit together better than both of those big threes.
Wow.
And it's because the roles are more complementary. Because LeBron is playing point guard, and now he's looking to distribute, run the offense, get other guys going. The roles are more complementary. So AD can be himself and just try to score. Kuzma can come in and be himself and just score, whereas with Bosh and Love, they really couldn't be the best versions of themselves because LeBron and Wade or LeBron and Kyrie – were the primary scores. So Love and Bosh had to figure out, how do I play the third wheel? And they became glorified role players. Mm-hmm. Now that's no longer the case because LeBron's running the point. So Kuzma can be who he is. That's why those teams, if you look at those teams when LeBron went there, Miami starts slowly because everybody's trying to figure out their roles. Cleveland starts slowly because Love's trying to figure out how to be the third guy. Mm-hmm. This team has started out great because everybody can just do what they do. So I'm loving LeBron at the point. I think he's getting better and more comfortable every game. And now Kuzma can come in and do his
so
thing.
You are already blessing Kyle Kuzma as the third member of a big three.
If you want to call him that, because he's going to score. He doesn't rebound much. He's not much of a defender.
He's not.
That's why I said he's not where Love and Bosh are individually.
Well, he can push LeBron to play defense, like literally.
LeBron been playing some defense.
Yeah, you don't
want
to talk about that.
He's been playing some, but I just think Kuzma can come in and score. And the fact that LeBron is primarily a distributor at this point, and he's still going to get you 25 points. He has 7 in the fourth himself. But I think the role, big threes are at their best, Worthy, Kareem, Magic, when everybody's roles complement each other. And these three guys now, their roles are complementing each other.
Yeah, I would just like to see, you know, look, they have 43 points between the two of them. I think in order for them to see the ultimate success, they need to be somewhere between 50 and 55, AD and LeBron. AD needs to be around 27 points. All LeBron needs to be 24, 23 to 25, Skip. And I think, you know, if they can somehow manage somewhere between, you know, 20 and 25 rebounds, you know, they're going to be 15, 16 assists because LeBron, I do feel that this will be the first year he averages double-digit in assists. What concerns me, Chris, is that it's like he's going out of his way to facilitate so early and it's getting him out of his rhythm. And you notice he struggles lately. He's been struggling lately to find his shot because he's gone so long, at least three quarters, without looking for it. And then in the fourth quarter when the game is nip and tuck, he's looking for it and it's not there. So I just wish he'd be a little more aggressive early. I don't got no problem with him being aggressive late in the ball game, but I want him to be aggressive a little earlier because there have been times that you look up and he got more assists than points.
Oh, yeah.
He had took two shots in the first quarter when they had taken 22. And Kyle Kuzma, who came in off the bench, had already got up 7. So that's the only thing, but I like what I see. Yeah. You know what I can see? Your glasses had them refurbished the other day. Mm. See championship in the future.
Do you?
Those glasses... They see that?
Yep.
Wow. Are those rose colors?
That ain't rose.
Jeez. Gotta get some of those.
You be hating. Yeah. You're a hater. Now, he always talk about, Phoenix. They're still Phoenix. But he ain't say that when they beat Clippers.
Right.
And they beat Philly.
I didn't say Phoenix
is playing well.
And what did old Book do? No. What did Book do to Beverly and the greatest defender that's ever created? Mm-hmm. He didn't even want him. Talk about, hey, dog, you remember load management now? I need load management.
Yeah, we've heard that.
So what did I see last night? I saw LeBron James attempt to close that basketball game. He said, get out of my way. I got this. He took 9 shots in the fourth quarter. That's a lot of shots for LeBron in any quarter, but especially in the fourth quarter. So he was not facilitating. He was attempting with all his might to score. Mm-hmm. And he made 3 out of 9. And then he got sent to the free throw line twice. And he missed the first one on an and one, and then he missed both of the second ones. And he went 0-for-3 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter, which is typical LeBron. And the man across from me is in big trouble because he said 75% or better from the free throw line for like 5 cases a night. Dude,
they're not looking good right now, Skip.
Going to lose.
He was at 74.
He was at 82 at one point.
He was. He got off to a hot start, but I told you, just wait. And yet, I also told both of you before the year started, the closer for this team has to be and will be Kyle Kuzma. If you want to do it closer with a K, that works for me.
Okay.
Because this guy is absolutely fearless taking those kind of shots. And it's rare that you see a fairly young player be that fearless taking those shots. And he saved LeBron really from himself last night because he made back-to-back huge threes that absolutely tilted this game in favor of the visiting team. They're up, Lakers up 1, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, they're up 7.
Who put them up 1? O'Brien with that old deep three and Saric's mug.
One shot that he made.
That, Skip.
Yep. And yet, this game got too big for the Phoenix Suns in the fourth quarter because they, after they were just crazy hot from 3, they made 3 of 12 in the fourth quarter. And to your point, they did a number on Devin Booker, and this yep. team can defend at a high level. Mm-hmm. They had a good plan, they had the right strategy, and they executed it with urgency and force and conviction on defense. They are really committed yep. on that end of right. the floor in ways they were never committed last year under the previous coach.
And they got three guys, Skip, they got three guys that they funnel you to a side or not. You know, you got to deal with JaVale and AD and you got Dwight Howard.
The way you beat Phoenix at Phoenix is you have to at least slow down Devin
Booker. Oh, you got to slow him down, yeah.
Because
yeah.
he was making 52% of his threes. Last night, he couldn't even get a three up right. in the first three quarters. Mm-hmm. And in the fourth quarter, he rushed two threes and badly missed both of them.
Yep.
He hit no threes for the game. His stat line looks okay, 9 of 18 for 21. But in the fourth quarter, he was nowhere to be found. He scored 2 points in the fourth quarter. And Kelly Oubre, who I've always had respect for him on both ends.
He had been playing well.
He had gone 22 straight games of double-figure scoring. And last night, he goose-egged. He got 1 point, but he didn't even get to play in the fourth quarter because he no-showed.
Ever since that trade from Washington, he'd been unbelievable. He parlayed that into a big contract.
That's why this team was 6-3.
But he had 22 games, so just imagine O'Bron.
LeBron
got almost 1,000 games of double figures.
Here's the thing. You mentioned LeBron. It looks to me he'll take the occasional mid-range shot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially at the rim or deep threes.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that may be getting used to his role mm-hmm. as the point guard. He's not getting it at the right. at the elbow or on the wing as much. But that's something that's interesting. And he didn't finish well last night at the rim.
Yeah. Okay, to your big 3 point. you were comparing Kuzma to Bosch and Kevin Love. But I'm comparing Anthony Davis to those two. And Anthony is clearly better than those two to me.
Mm-hmm.
All-around player.
Right.
And so now you got to start doing Kuzma versus Dwayne Wade in his prime.
Here's my thing, and I think Brian Windhorst wrote an article today comparing the big threes.
Yep.
The difference is this. He talked about Bosh and Love as compared to AD fitting with LeBron. The problem is Bosh and Love were the third wheels.
They were.
AD's the second wheel. The second wheel.
I mean, you could argue he's the first wheel.
I mean, LeBron's the best player, I think, still. But AD, you know, he's the leading scorer. So those are the first two options. The point is, the second option or the first two options with LeBron's big threes have always been able to score.
Yeah.
Like Kyrie didn't have to go down scoring. He shot more than LeBron, I think, last year.
Yep.
And Wade has got his points with LeBron. It's the third guy. So I think the more apt comparison
who has to make the most sacrifices
is Bosh, Love, and Kuzma.
Because you got to realize, Kevin Love went from, Skip, Kevin Love was 26-14. And all of a sudden, he's an 18-9 guy.
Yeah.
And in Bosh big moments,
Bosh was 20-10 for several years.
In Toronto.
Yes.
Yep.
And Bosh, then all of a sudden, he's like,
he averaged 16-6 his last year with LeBron.
Yeah.
So they were glorified role players. And now I think Kuzma doesn't have to make that adjustment. He can just come in.
I'm going to give you this. The chemistry between LeBron and AD, because they had little to no preseason and they had no offseason because LeBron was mostly making the movie.
Yep.
But it is... it's clicking at a high level right out of the blocks. I'm impressed.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it usually takes a while.
That old pick and roll. They can't do nothing without pick and roll.
LeBron's going to the point.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Shan. He's got still some stuff to figure out. But I was watching last night, and I just kept – he's reminding me more and more of Magic.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because Magic could score, but he was looking to set everybody else up. And I think these next 3-4 years – that's what we're going to see more and more from LeBron.
Now they got to blend Rondo in as sort of the backup.
Right.
Guard, yeah, I think he should be the backup.
Same dynamic.
Okay.
Chris, good stuff. Thank you for joining us.
No mercy.
Guys, Cam Newton is reportedly considering surgery on his foot that has kept him out most of the season. Cam is owed $19 million on his contract next season, but none of it is guaranteed. Reports are surfacing now that Chicago could be a place that Cam gets traded to, and the QB would apparently welcome a move to the Windy City. So, Shannon, would Cam be a good fit or a bad fit for the Bears?
It would be a great fit, Skip, but Cam, it's not like Cam has a no-trade clause, so if they say we're sending you to Cincinnati, Cam would have to pack his bag and move to Cincinnati. But it would be a great fit. And people are like, well, why do you think it's a great fit? Because he's better than Trubisky. That's the only, for no other reason.
I'll give you
he's
that.
He's better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, nothing else really needs to be said, Skip. I still think Cam has some great years in front of him. He needs to go ahead and get that foot repaired, though, because the thing is that he's going to be approaching 30. And if you were to have the surgery, you're looking at somewhere around March, April. And teams going to want to know that you're healthy. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to run the risk. It's, you know, obviously, you know, everybody says it's a minor surgery. All surgeries are minor when they're not on you. But if I was Cam, I would have the surgery and look forward to a new future because the writing's on the walls. They're moving in a different direction, and Cam needs to prepare himself to be also ready to move in a different direction. But I think it'll be a great fit. It's a very good team. I think they're a quarterback away. I think their defense plays entirely too much because their quarterback isn't good, and so we don't get an opportunity to see just how good their defense is because I don't care how great your defense is, put them on the field enough. And you'll find out somebody will expose them.
That's true.
And that's what you're seeing happening. All these three and outs, and you don't get an opportunity to see these guys play to their maximum capacity. So he has the arm that can throw in the cold weather. Obviously, Green Bay, cold weather. Chicago, cold weather. This will be its home game. Mm-hmm. But Detroit and Minnesota, you've been a dome. So I like it. I like it. That was one of the first teams when this first came up, Skip. Chicago was first out of my mouth. Hmm. Then Denver should be on the phone trying to get him, make sure they can get a talk to him.
I hear what you're saying. On paper, he would be a great fit for this team, in part because he's just so much better than that quarterback that I did not love before he got picked. And they do have the pieces in place where you'd say, well, if you could take it up to Cam's even approaching MVP level, you'd have something
right.
going on there in Chicago.
Right.
But I worked in Chicago for 3 years as the lead columnist of the Chicago Tribune, and I wrote a whole lot of columns about the Chicago Bears, so I have a pretty good feel for how that town feels in response to the Chicago Bears. I do not think Cam would be a great fit there. Hmm. And I've always thought this about Cam. The truth is, he belongs in L.A. or New York or maybe Atlanta, mm-hmm. where he's from.
Oh, yeah.
But that would also work. But those three destinations would be where he would really fit mm-hmm. because Cam's got superstar in him.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of diva in him. He's always about the flamboyant wardrobe.
He's got swag going on.
He's got lots of swag going on and high cool factor. Mm-hmm. But he's also, in large part, a solo act to me.
Okay.
He often sort of with the Panthers set himself apart from the team, if not above the team. And we've seen him all too many times when it went wrong, he'd go sit by himself on the end of the bench, put a towel over his head or neck. And Chicago won't play that game very long. If it got off right and he was really performing at that MVP sort of level on the field, it would work. Mm-hmm. But at heart, that's still blue-collar fandom.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're still a defensive town.
They're a defense town. And there was one aberration with the Bears, and it was Jim McMahon in 1985. And our younger visitors or viewers won't really remember all this, but in 1985, it was a one-hit wonder for Jim McMahon.
Yes.
He had a pretty good year for a great football team with, I think, the greatest defense ever, the 85 Bears. Uh-huh. But Jim was known as the punky QB.
Rebel outlaw. Yep. Remember, Skip, he had the Real Zale headband that he got fined. The helicopter was flying over the Super Bowl. He mooned them.
And he sort of led the charge with their video they did.
Yeah, it was
the
first Super Bowl shuffle. Video.
Yep. But Jim McMahon was team first. He was one of the guys.
Yes.
He hung out with the offensive linemen. So Chicago embraced all of his antics and all the colorful part because they were winning.
Correct.
And the focus was on the defense and the running back, Walter Payton.
Correct.
Okay?
Yes.
So, again, Jim just didn't screw it up.
You know,
he didn't get in the way
right.
on Sunday. He kind of got in the way off the field, but it was like a pleasant distraction. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a diversion from the drudgery of day-to-day. But Michael Jordan, in the end, in Chicago, was beloved because he had a lot of blue collar in him.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of lunch pail in him.
Yep.
When it came time to practice, nobody practiced. He practiced like psycho hard.
Right.
He worked out psycho hard in the gym with the great Tim Grover as his trainer.
You got to win.
And when it came time to tip the ball off, he played like crazy hard every dribble.
He never cheated them. And they knew no matter what, win, lose, or draw, they knew they were going to get maximum effort. Skipping in quarterbacks, they'll let a lot. If you win, the fans will tolerate a lot. They were telling the story. John McClain wrote the story about how Ken Stabler didn't show up for practice one day. Hmm. And it was Veterans Day. And they was frantically, they were looking for him. They said, well,
which
Ken,
team? Oakland?
He was with
New Orleans?
Houston.
Oh, with you? Oh, yeah. Well, because
New Orleans. John, yeah, John McClain. Okay. And it's like, well, yeah. Ken, where were you? He's like, hell, I was a veteran. Mm-hmm. He deserved an award. He's just a veteran football player. Yep. But Kenny Stabler had, he won. And guys will talk, Jim McMahon, those antics wouldn't have flown if they, as great as the Bears were, Skip, mm-hmm. if they didn't win, coaches are not tolerating that. People are not tolerating, even mm-hmm. even your teammates.
Okay, but I was around Kenny Stabler a lot, and he was one of the fellas. He was not a diva. He didn't say, I'm better than you. And Cam has some of that operating.
He's gotten better.
He did post the recent video. And he's smoking his stogie and he's sipping his wine. And if you don't play up to the level expected in Chicago, they will not accept that video or that sort of presentation. That won't work.
They're old.
You know those guys that Peyton and the Da Bears guys, right?
That's cool.
Da Bears.
Hey.
And that's, Skip, when you think about Chicago, I can only really think of one great offensive player, and that's Walter. Most of their franchise goes back. When you go back to Doug Atkinson, you go back to Bill George and Buck. Okay, Sayers. I forgot about that. I don't forget Gale Sayers.
It didn't last long, but it was.
He was special. But when you think monsters of the Midway, and that is not for their offense.
No.
That's for their defense.
But Cam could be a monster of the Midway, the way he can play, if he could continue to play at that level where he's running over people.
If you win in Chicago, because they're starved for a winner for so long, Skip, and they want to go far into the playoffs. I mean, the thing is, you got to show that you care.
Yeah.
The reason why they never accepted Jay Cutler, because it's like, if they won, he was fine. If they lost, he's fine. I'm going home to my wife, and I'm cool with that.
I agree.
And the fans like, no, we want you as invested as we are. Okay. When you lose, we get upset. We want you to be upset.
But just hypothetically.
Yes.
You put Cam Newton as the quarterback of the Rams, and it's not going to happen. But you do that, it's Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And he would rise and shine in that role. Mm-hmm. He would be made for that role.
It's interesting to even picture it. He would fit in L.A., definitely his outfits would, always.
Come on, hang out with your boy, Cam. No mercy.
The latest college football playoff rankings have LSU jumping to the top after taking down Alabama over the weekend. Ohio State slid to second, followed by Clemson and Georgia, which means Alabama is now on the outside looking in. They came in at number 5. So, Shannon.
Knocking on the window. Can we play?
Do you have a problem with these rankings?
Yes, I absolutely have a problem with this ranking. Mm. Skip, Alabama lost to the number 1 team in the country at home. Georgia lost to a 4-6 South Carolina team at home. Alabama beat that South Carolina team by 24. Now, normally, the NCAA and college, the playoff committee, has frowned on bad losses. Hence, Ohio State losing to Purdue last year, winning the conference title, and at the home looking. But you're going to reward Georgia for what? Really? Come on, Skip, stop playing with me, but don't worry about it. Everything, Coach Saban says, all we got to do is just take care of what we need to take care of. And when it's all said and done, we'll be order will be restored.
Shannon, it's over. Alabama gave up 46 points at home, including 33 by halftime. I don't care who it was, LSU or the Dallas Cowboys. It's too many
LSU
points.
LSU is number 1 team
You're
in the country.
Disqualified.
And they
46 had, points and
they
at
got,
home?
And they got the Heisman Trophy winner.
46
And they
points.
Got the top 5 quarterback.
Wow.
Skip, stop it.
You're in trouble.
South Carolina.
Okay, so Georgia's got a game at Auburn, and it's a dangerous game. They're a 2.5-point favorite, but they're going to win that game.
Okay.
And what would really do you in is if Georgia goes to the SEC championship and beats LSU, then they're both in.
That might hurt us. That might hurt us, but I don't see that happening.
And then there's this team in the Big 12, this Baylor Bears. I mean, they could go unbeaten. How are you going to keep them out of
Baylor had, they already had this. TCU had to happen a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened with that. So it's not going to happen. When is the last time you heard somebody mention Oklahoma?
You know what? I know. I got to tell you guys something quick. Breaking news. Guess who tweeted in? Zeke's mom, Skip. She tweeted a picture. She is not throwing out the photo yet. So you're good to
Thank
go.
Thank you, Mama
Zeke. You are good to go, Skip.
I can't believe you, Mama Zeke.
Thank you. I love you, Mama Zeke. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.